This is Jesse Cole, owner of the Savannah Bananas, and today I'm talking with Derek Champagne about how to create a culture of raving fans.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. I'm super excited about the guest that we have today, Jesse Cole. You might have seen him around. See, I saw him before I even knew him, and I know him a little bit now, but I actually saw the things he was doing and the splash he was making in his world and the attention that was happening around him. I said, I got to interview this guy. This is somebody that our audience needs to meet and needs to hear from. And after that, I had the opportunity to get to know him better, and now we're even in the same mastermind together, which is just beyond cool. Jesse's the owner of Fans First Entertainment. He owns and operates the Savannah Bananas and the Gastonia Grizzlies, and their teams welcomed more than 1 million fans to their ballpark. You've seen them on MSNBC, CNN, ESPN. Jesse, welcome to our Business Leadership Series show.
Yeah, pumped to be here today.
I'm going to keep reading more about you. Your teams have been awarded Organization of the Year, Entrepreneur of the Year, Business of the Year, won 3 CPL championships. You've sold out 30-plus straight games, have a waiting list in the thousands for your tickets. I know you're an in-demand speaker, and you're the author of this awesome new book, Find Your Yellow Tux, How to Be Successful by Standing Out. Man, congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. Just having a lot of fun every day. That's what it's all about. And you mentioned the yellow tux. I actually had 6 yellow tuxedos, and the other day, my staff surprised me. They bought on their own the 7th tuxedo, a custom-made tuxedo for me, and surprised me with it. So now I have one for every day of the week.
Laundry day can be once a week for you now.
You got that right.
That is awesome. And so, yeah, for our listeners, Jesse, why don't you tell us a little bit, tell us your daily wardrobe every day and what kind of response you've gotten just out in the community locally, and then when you're traveling, because I saw some pictures of you at TSA last week.
Well, one of the big things we realize, we own baseball teams, but we realize it's not about baseball. It's about the circus. It's about entertainment. And it's what business are you in? What business are you really in? And we are 100% in the entertainment business. So as the guy who is on the field, running the show, pieing the fans, with grandma beauty pageants and dancing players, I had to dress the part. So I made sure a few years ago, I found a tuxedo from brightcoloredtuxedos.com. It actually exists, a bright yellow tuxedo with the top hat. And I purchased my first one, and that opening night a few years ago when I wore it, everyone was like, that fits you perfectly, and the selfies and the pictures and the fun, and it's become a part of my lifestyle. So now I got my 7th tuxedo and I wear it every day of the week. And it's one of my principles too. I believe attention beats marketing 1000% of the time, and I believe people need to stand out and not follow the 9-to-5. And so I love it amplifies who I am, and I guess the whole staff definitely really bought into it by literally buying me the 7th one.
What kind of response do you get in the community? I would imagine I'm a community leader here in my community, and I can walk down the street and nobody knows who I am most of the time. What happens for you when you go out in public?
Oh, it's a lot different. In Savannah, Georgia, it's a lot different. What's really funny, there was a huge concert the other day downtown, and as I walked in the tuxedo, everyone started chanting, "Go Bananas." And it was really, really, really cool. So, it's been fun in the Savannah community. It gets really weird, though, when I go to the airport. If I'm flying to do a speech, and TSA, I know Scott Beebe took a picture the other day, as I'm getting completely searched by TSA because this crazy guy in a yellow tuxedo. That's a normal ritual these days. But, the looks of confusion usually turn into laughter and smiles, and that's what it's all about. I think people need to live life and have more fun, and I think the yellow tuxedo definitely fits that.
I absolutely agree. You've got so much energy. I've seen some of what you're doing out there, speaking and engaging audiences, and some of the reviews you're getting, and it's awesome. So I love what you're doing. I'm a marketing guy, so obviously when I hear someone say attention beats marketing 1000% of the time, my ears perk up. but I'm also a student and a continual learner, and I have been since I was about five, obsessed with marketing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when something's working, I listen and I want to see what's going on. I will tell you, and this is another feather in your cap. As I was watching the things you're doing, and of course, I've written a book myself. I know a thing or two about marketing, and I've seen what you're doing. And I thought to myself, what's going to happen? I'll be honest, I haven't told you this yet. I thought, what's going to happen though when he's tired of being in that yellow tux or wants to duplicate? And sure enough, something pops up that you hired this new rock star. So I'm going to ask you about that too. I think it's, what is it? Fan Fun or Fun and Engagement? What's the new title of who you've hired?
We just hired a director of fun who was the top cruise director of Norwegian Cruise Lines, and he is our director of fun. So yes, we brought another showman into the staff.
I absolutely love it. I mean, you answered my question before I ever even had to ask you, as I thought, I wonder what he's going to do next. And it wasn't critical. I just thought, how what's sustainable? What's his next move? Because I love studying these things. And when I looked at some of the responses on social media, very quickly people were going, oh man, Norwegian's losing a rock star. That's a bummer. We're not going to see him next time. So you went out and got one of the best.
Yes, we were very fortunate. And I think that's very important for business owners out there and leaders. It's the hiring, you know, process that you have. For us, our hiring process is crazy. We do a really wild video to create attention whenever we're hiring. And then we ask all applicants, they have to fill out a future resume, what they want to do in the future, not what they've done in the past, but what they want to do in the future. They have to do a video cover letter and an essay that fits the Fans First way. So right there, we eliminate 90% of potential applicants. So we get people that are hungry, that want to think different, and they're willing to put themselves out there. And we received lots of applicants from actors, comedians, but Tyler Gray, our director of fun, he stood out. I mean, literally, he was a part of the Blue Man Group for 2 years, and he was the cruise director, and now he left all of that to join the Savannah Bananas. And I can't tell you how excited we are to have another showman. You put two of us together, it's going to get pretty crazy at the ballpark.
I was cracking up. I'm trying to remember all the people that you said that said no. I know Gary Busey was one of them. who were the celebrities that you had in that video?
Bob Saget, Pee Wee Herman, Carrot Top. Oh yeah, we definitely went pretty ridiculous on people quote unquote asked to take the job.
Hilarious. And how fun when you can make it fun and attention grabbing and get just, it's so awesome the way you can connect. Hey, I want to step back. I like to do this with our, especially when the story is so engaging. And I know it hasn't always been that you were at the top of your game with the sports team, with the tux. Take me back earlier on. I want to get to know you a little bit better, some of your early years, and then kind of what the path was that got you to being this owner of this successful teams with a waiting list.
You know, I think most entrepreneurs and owners romanticize failure so much, but you know, that's really how people get where they are. They have to learn. I call failure discovery, and I've had a lot of discovery over the last 11 years. And when I first joined the industry as a 23-year-old, I was fortunate to be a general manager of a team in Gastonia, North Carolina. And I showed up that first day and found out there was only 200 fans coming to the games regularly. And the team had lost over $100,000 the previous year. And there was only $268 in the bank account. And that was my first day at 23 years old. And I wasn't able to pay myself for months. Me and my roommate joked, he's like, we called it points. He goes, how many points are you owed right now? I go, I don't know, 5,000 points, 10,000 points. It was ridiculous. But you know, I learned at that point, we had to change the business. So I tried everything. That's when we started having flatulence fun nights at the ballpark, salute to underwear nights. I mean, we got crazy, gave away Port-a-Johns, colon cleansings. We tried it all. And I learned so much. And what happened is everyone started noticing, these guys are crazy. We got to go to the ballpark. Expect the unexpected. You'll never know what you're going to see. And we created all this attention that marketing became easy. So I thought we were just killing it, you know, doing unbelievable. The fans, we were selling out games, going up to over 2,000 fans a game, 3,000 fans a game. So I bought the team and I was like, oh, we can take on the world. So let's go to Savannah, Georgia, where they had professional baseball for over 90 years. But the professional baseball team left because they wanted to go build a brand new $38 million stadium. So I was like, oh, we'll come in here. We're going to kill it. So we showed up that first day in October of 2015. The former team had cut the phone lines, cut the internet lines, took everything out of the stadium. And we were working in an abandoned storage building on a picnic table, telling everyone, we're going to get crazy. We're going to have all-you-can-eat tickets. We're going to have dancing players. And what happened? Crickets. Oh. Literally, we sold one season ticket in the first 2 months. And it got so bad, this is just 2 years ago, Derek, that we got a phone call in January at 4:45 on a Friday that we overdrafted our account, there was no money left, and me and my wife had to sell our house, had to empty out our savings account, every dollar we had, and put it all in to the Savannah team. And we ended up buying the worst, grossest, nastiest place you could ever imagine. That was just, literally cockroaches, ants, because we had to get down in Savannah, and we went all in. And that's where I really started to believe in this attention beats marketing, because we decided our whole branding, our whole marketing plan was to go crazy and name the team the Savannah Bananas and go all out in creating the most outrageous entertainment people have ever seen. And that's after that, slowly but surely, we got off that airbed that we were sleeping in, that terrible house with cockroaches, and we ended up selling out every single game. And so we've had some challenges along the way, to say the least.
Wow. Man, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for being so open about that. 2 years. I can imagine. And again, I've been an entrepreneur for most of my life, and I've had some scars and failures or learning experiences as well. But you know what? It's tough at that part. I love building. The part of building a business is my favorite part. But I don't know if anybody enjoys the all-in exact moment there. Give me that mindset, and you know, because a lot of our listeners are thinking about it, or maybe they're on the fence of going, should I go all in on something? What are some criterias, and how did you know it was time to do that rather than move on to something else?
It's a great question. And I talk about this in Find Your Yellow Tux when I share the journey. I believe you got to take small bets first, numerous small bets. And we took small bets in Gastonia that we learned that people would eventually believe in this crazy entertainment. It took time, but they'd believe in it. And so we tried all these different things. And we took a small bet with the all-you-can-eat tickets. Literally, I mean, every ticket includes all your burgers, your hot dogs, your chicken sandwich, your soda, your water, your popcorn, your dessert, everything for $15, including the ticket. And we created that because what's that perfect experience for your customer? And that's how we map everything. The name of our company, as you mentioned, is Fans First Entertainment. We lead with the fans. So we realized that we believed in it. We just had to get people's eyes and ears. They weren't paying attention to this college summer baseball team. So we knew if we came out with a big name and then started having fun with it and like having a senior citizen dance team called the Banana Nanas that literally would dance Justin Timberlake in the middle of the games, you know, I mean, and all the different things that we were going to have, a breakdancing base coach that would do the moonwalk while he's giving signals, and the Banana Baby.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So we came up with all these crazy ideas, and we were like, you know what? People are going to believe in it. So how do, you know, from an entrepreneur's perspective, how many small bets did you take? So we took small bets over the years, trying these unique entertainment forms, trying these all you can eat tickets that said, if we can just get them to believe in us, it's going to work. And so that's why we decided to go all in. And I had the support of an amazing wife who's been in the journey with me the whole time. And I think that's so important to have either a spouse or a partner who's there with you every step of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. If your partner, your significant other is not on board, that's a big uphill battle. That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me about, so you've done a great job. You've created attention. Attention beats marketing. How does a business stand out by creating attention? What are some fundamentals?
Yeah, well, I think, again, you need to know what business you're in and what business you're really in. And so for us, we knew that we weren't focused on the baseball. It wasn't about how many runs we had, how many home runs we had, how many wins we had. We knew that if we were going to be entertainment, that we had to go so all out in creating attention. So, you know, my biggest mentors are P.T. Barnum and Walt Disney. And I've studied them, you know, throughout the years, every book they've ever come out with about how do they create attention. And, you know, there's ways to create attention by, you know, being wild, by, you know, doing the things that are timely. Like, for instance, we offered Obama an internship after he was no longer president. We never heard from him, which I'm still waiting for him to hear. It was a great offer. We were going to give him a host family and, you know, he's going to work on the concession stand. But anyways, we look for what are the timely matters, and we have a videographer that can produce videos very quickly. So I think video is a great resource to create attention. But again, it's all about creating that funnel for us into that perfect customer experience. I mean, when you come to our ballpark, the first thing you see is penguins as you're parking your car, because we decided to come up with parking penguins. Literally, we dress our people as penguins, and they're guiding you to your spots. And then you see them, and then all of a sudden you're coming to walk in the stadium, and we see our players in full jerseys signing autographs. Then we have our pep band, which is crazy at a baseball game to have a 30-piece pep band playing Rocky theme music. And then as you pass that, our staff is dressed up in banana costumes, ripping your banana-shaped tickets as you walk in the game. And so we kind of craft this entire experience to wow you. So if you want to create attention, think about your business every step of the way. How are you creating that tension that's going to make people go home and say, wow? Professionalism is boring, and most people don't go home and say, you know what, honey, I was with the most professional company today. I saw the most professional person. You know, we like to be a little weird, a little different, and I think companies need to celebrate that and be unique.
I'm just thinking through my six and 8-year-old and how much fun we would have going to that. And again, I've talked to you recently where we both went to Disney World actually within a week of each other this last month. And that does remind me of that experience and what an exciting wow and engaging the entire time. And you're thinking through what the customer experience is going to be, what's important to them.
Yeah. I mean, imagine your kids are at the game and then all of a sudden they see the players on the field, not just playing baseball, but doing the entire Thriller dance in between innings. And then right after that, the next half inning, the players walk into the stands with roses and give a rose to your little girl or in the middle of the game. And all of a sudden we create those memories. So literally the players get down to a knee and deliver a rose to a little girl in the middle of the game with pictures and everything. So we think, how can we create those moments of magic that really wow fans? So, and it's not just a baseball team. Any business can do this. What are those wow moments that will make people say, I can't believe that just happened? And that is real marketing. That's attention.
You've got me thinking as we've shifted some of our niche to healthcare and finance, and that doesn't sound as exciting to build, especially when I have a background in music and entertainment marketing in Hollywood for many years. It's a little bit different, but to interject this wow factor to make it exciting and have a brand personality and engage the customers is so critical.
100%.
Love that. So let's talk about how do you create a culture of raving fans?
Here's the craziest thing. So Fans First is the name of our company. Our mission is fans first, entertain always. All we talk about is fans first moments. It's been built into our culture. But here's the secret that many people don't know. The fans, our biggest fans, are not our customers, are not our guests. They're our own people. So what we do is we foster an environment and a culture that takes care of our people more than you could ever imagine. Our staff is millennials between 22 and 27 years old. In 3 years since the Savannah Bananas have launched, we've had zero turnover. We let our people dictate their own salaries. We let our people literally work when they want to work. We have PTO. There's no PTO whenever they want to take time off. But more than anything, we recognize them. We care for them. We try to create an environment where they're the owners of their own job, their own team, their own happiness, and therefore their own fulfillment. And when you create that, they deliver that to the customers and the fans. And we have a staff right now that every day is trying to think, how can they create the most amazing customer experience? To give you an example, every single person who buys a t-shirt from us, a ticket from us, an event ticket, anything it is, not only will they get a fun email that says, congrats, you just made the best decision of your day. Right now we're running around the stadium. We're hoisting your tickets in the air. We're doing Gatorade showers over each other. And your tickets are now in maximum security in our vault. We're ready for you to go bananas. Not only does that happen from a digital standpoint, but next thing that happens is someone on our staff calls just to thank them. Not to ask. They're usually like, is my credit card not working? And we're like, no. We're just calling to thank you. It's been such a buy-in and a culture that we share the stories. When I'm speaking, I invite the staff to come hear it, and they just keep building it. I was speaking yesterday to a group of hotel executives, and our staff was crying during it, talking about those moments that we really touched families, and we have those moments, and we share them over and over and over again. So as a business owner, what are those stories? Are you sharing them with your people, and are you caring for your people more than your customers? I say this all the time, but love your customers more than you love your product. But love your employees more than you love your customers.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I like that. Any other bumpers to think about when you talk about it? Because we've got a lot of entrepreneurs. We've also got a bunch of high level executives from Walmart and Sam's Club and Tyson and a lot of these other big companies that are based here in Northwest Arkansas. And it might say that sounds amazing, but are there any small steps or any parameters? If I go in there and say and name your salary, I'll be out of a job tomorrow. Tell me from a leadership style. When you did that, what were some deciding factors for that? And what are just some basic principles or bumpers, parameters that we can look at that we can apply that way?
Yeah, I mean, I the easiest thing to start is with recognition. How are you recognizing the employees? You know, every staff chat, every morning, we start, the first thing we do is recognize people. We have thank you letters everywhere between our staff. We have peer recognition. It's been a culture of recognition. We know our people just want to feel proud of what they're doing and feel the pride every day. So I would challenge, you know, even these big companies, what are you doing to recognize? It's not just employee of the month. It's actually sitting down face to face saying, you know, I'm proud of you, what you're doing, and recognizing that. I think the great book by Ken Blanchard, Whale Done, he talks about the whales at SeaWorld and how when they train them, when they do something wrong, they don't pay attention to it. But when they do something right is when they feed them and take care of them. Hmm. Most business owners and managers, they catch people doing things wrong. They don't catch them doing things right. And every day I'm walking around and our president's walking around trying to recognize them for doing things right. And we will send handwritten thank you letters. At the end of the night, we'll send them a text to make them feel good because they just want to feel cared for. And we have a young generation of millennials. That's all they want. And so that's a huge step. And I think it's a tangible thing. Think about today. Who did you recognize? And if you can't answer that question at the end of the day, we got some work to do.
Great advice. Thank you so much, Jesse. Hey, I want to ask you, tell me a little bit more about your leadership style. You've shared some, but I'd love to know, you're talking about Walt Disney and you're talking about some others that have been influenced on you. What is your outlook on continuing to educate and to have mentors? And what are your sources for continuing to expand your knowledge base to be the best leader you can be?
100%. For me, it's constantly learning and constantly sharing. You know, we're a part of the Better Book Club, which is a great platform that's been set up where we actually pay our people to read. So we have any book on Amazon, and we have a platform where they'll read, talk about the favorite quotes, their takeaways, and how they fit to our core beliefs. We've built that into our culture and investing in our people and investing in education and investing in learning. You know, if I could go back to when I was 23 years old and first started in this industry, I started reading 50 to 100 books a year, and I was investing myself there, but I would have invested more in myself and actually learning directly from the source and meeting with the people from Disney and connecting in masterminds and coaching. So, you know, I think my leadership style, everyone knows, it's constantly learning. You know, our fans' first way is always be caring, different, enthusiastic, fun, growing, and hungry. And the last two, growing and hungry, they know every day I may send them a podcast, I may send them a book recommendation or a short article. So I think people need to continually develop. And what's great is I'm seeing these 22, 23, 24-year-olds that are so much further along than I ever was. And I just can't wait to see them grow and what they're going to take on in the next few years. And I think every owner and leader should look at that and focus on their people. It's not the what, it's the who.
Love that. Hey, I want to get into talking about your book in just a minute, but I want to ask you a few other questions first, more personal questions. Tell me, with all of the things you've had so far, what's your proudest accomplishment that you've had, personal or professional? What stands out to you? And it doesn't have to be a giant moment. It could be, or it could be a small moment where you realized that you were onto something or that was meaningful to you.
For me, it's the emotional moments that come to mind. You know, it's the moments like, I mean, I don't want to tell too long stories, but a moment when a gentleman came up to me at the end of a game, on the last games of the year, and gave me the biggest hug that I've ever received, and said, "You have no idea how much your games mean to me." I go, "Oh, thanks, I really appreciate it." He goes, "My mother and I haven't talked in years, but she came to one of the first games and watched the players dance and had the time of her life. My mother and I now sit together at every one of your games, and you've brought our relationship back together." And it's moments like that really means a lot from a fan perspective, but it's other moments like when, unfortunately, one of our young employees, his father just recently died. He's only 24 years old and his father died, and he was really emotional, and there was a hurricane going down in Savannah and everyone was leaving, and I was up in Charlotte and I drove the opposite direction. I was free flowing. There was no one on my highway. And I was coming back for the wake, and our whole entire staff was there at the wake with him, and I gave Patrick a hug and he didn't let go and he said, "I love you, man." And what we've built is a connection of love. And I know a lot of employers, a lot of companies don't like to talk about love. We talk about it all the time. And we are a family. So it's those moments that I know we all have each other's backs. We love each other. We care for each other. It's not what they're doing for us from a business perspective. It's what we're doing for people and our fans and our staff. And that's what matters most. So there's so many great moments that I could think about, the ballpark that, you know, just, I mean, 32 straight sellouts and thousands of people having the time of their life. But it's those individual moments that I'll never forget because it was a real meaningful human connection. And I think that's what matters most in business.
Yeah, that's great. Love that. Those small moments. And love does have a place in business. You're so right. Tim Sanders, who's been a guest on our show and has been a friend of our show, is a best-selling author. He wrote Love is the Killer App. He worked with Mark Cuban for all those first early years and learned firsthand from Mark as a buddy and a business partner about having love in the workplace and showing that. I think it's important and it's not shown enough. So thank you for bringing that out and living that. And what a reward to hear a fan share something that's way bigger than baseball and entertainment. That was meaningful to them. That's huge. That's 100%. So rewarding. A couple more questions for you. What's next for you? What have you yet? And this doesn't have to be a serious question, but is there something on your bucket list that you have yet to do that just is something interesting that you want to do still?
You know, I get asked bucket list questions, and it's funny. It's like, you know, I want to travel the world. I want to jump out of an airplane. It's all this stuff. You know, I guess I'm very, you know, I'm focused with what we're doing in the sense, bucket list, I don't think crazy things. I think about impact. You know, one big change that we've made in our business, and one of our employees pretty much brought it up, said, Jesse, we still talk about money. We still talk about dollars. And I said, you're right. So we changed it. We focus solely on impact. We keep track of how many people we're impacting, not the dollars. So how many people we impact that come to the ballpark, how many people we impact online. And so for me, it's not bucket list, but I want to figure out how we can impact millions of people and how we can spread this, because it is such personal fulfillment when I see thousands of people having the time of their life and smiling and coming together and hugging and taking selfies. So I know bucket list is very easy to say those crazy things, but I want to be able to spread what we're doing worldwide. And that's what we talk about. We always do the worldwide. We always say that now, but that's what me and bringing this new director of fun on, we're thinking about how we can do that. So, I know that maybe it wasn't the direction you wanted to go, but that's really what we're focusing on.
I love it. I had no agenda. I love to hear whatever your honest thoughts are. So that's great to hear. Hey, let's talk about the book for a minute before you go. I want to respect your time. Tell me a little bit about your book, Find Your Yellow Tux, and what can readers expect when they engage with this book?
100%. It shares the journey on how to be successful by standing out. And I share my personal journey and talk about Walt Disney and Bill Veeck, one famous baseball owner, as well as P.T. Barnum. But it was driven by driving to work, going to the ballpark with no traffic, and then seeing on the other direction, going into Charlotte, bumper to bumper traffic. And every single day I was watching as these people are bumper to bumper traffic, working the 9 to 5, and I'm going my own way, going to work at a ballpark. And I was like, how have I been able to create this and actually have unbelievable joy and fulfillment and excitement every day? And I was able to map that journey and share how you can really, you know, create your own path and stand out in business. And I talk about a lot of great ideas, you know, crazy ideas like creating the attention and obviously the fans first environment. But, you know, I feel a lot of people, you know, they're living by the expectations of others and not creating exactly what they want in their life. And that's what the book's about. Definitely a journey. It was a long, as you know, as an author, it takes a long time to put it together. But I've been blown away by the response. And what's been really interesting to me, as much I've heard from young entrepreneurs, I'm hearing from retired individuals and people at the end of their work life talking about, wow, I wish I read this 20 or 30 years ago. I would have looked at things so much differently. And I think that's really, that inspires me. And hopefully they'll be able to make some changes later in their life.
How do our listeners, how can we find this book?
It's on Amazon, or you can Find Your Yellow Tux. We sell it on the Bananas page, and we put in some extra bonuses too on the SavannahBananas.com. But Amazon's the easiest. You know, they're dominating the world these days, so that's very quick.
SavannahBananas.com to see more about your team. FindYourYellowTux.com to learn more about this book, to get to know you. Jesse Cole, awesome man. I want to say again, I interview a lot of people, as do you, and I love what you're doing. Again, I reached out to you originally because I saw that you were doing something different, and it was different. It was different than just getting attention with a yellow tux. You're onto something way bigger than that. It's revolutionary. I love how you're doing it, and I can't wait to keep following your journey. I love that I'm in a mastermind with you, and I get to see on a closer basis what's going on. And man, congratulations on your success. Congratulations on your focus on being different and doing things differently and making the customer and the fans first.
Well, thank you so much for everything that you're providing for entrepreneurs out there. It's amazing stuff.
Hey, take care, Jesse. We'll talk to you soon. We look forward to following all the next great things that you're doing.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.